Thanks. So, what conditions would make it work, would have succeeded or could succeed? I guess I'll start off from where I stopped earlier in terms of emphasizing, and I can't emphasize this enough, the drawing that distinction between what these first order conditions are and the second order conditions that those first order conditions will enable. So one of the things that we would consider important to look into in greater detail is an understanding of the value chain itself, right? So take copper, for instance, right? To what extent is it that you understand where you currently are in terms of what you're capable of producing? So are you producing the ore and concentrates? Are you capable of producing the anodes? Are you capable of moving into the cathodes? And then understanding the markets to which these fit into. On top of that, so you layer on top of that a proper modeling of what the costs would be, what the potential value would be gained from that, so that that then influences the manner in which you would determine which tools to use. Now, I mentioned earlier that I deliberately didn't touch on tax holidays. The reason I didn't, or it's not one of the first things that jumps out in terms of what these incentives are that could work, is just that. It might not be the right tool to use. So you've got to have as comprehensive an understanding of as possible of that value chain, of the supply chain that feeds into it and out of it, of the procurement needs that surround all of that, which then influence the manner in which you design the incentives that then follow. Another thing to do is draw a distinction between where you're layering the incentives. So are you looking at it at the upstream end, or are you trying to incentivize further down the processing end? Again, it goes back to understanding the economics of the project. It goes back to understanding the value that you could gain from it. So if, for instance, there is demonstrable profitability in having a project start from exploration, development to the mine gate, and then further into processing and refining, if it is demonstrably profitable to do so, then I would argue that there isn't an absolute need to rush to provide incentives at the upstream for that kind of project. You could then look to things that look more into the cost side of the incentives that would reduce the cost pressure at the refining processing stage or at the sort of smelting processing stage. There was another question you asked. Stabilization. It's the same sort of principle. The extent to which one would use that tool should depend to a very large extent on one's understanding of the economics of the project. There are jurisdictions that have offered fiscal stabilization, and this tends to impact on sovereignty, one of the arguments that you could make. So the question we always have is, to what extent are you influencing behavior, or to what extent are you potentially losing out on fiscal revenues from stabilizing? I don't know if I quite got the... Just I guess a word of caution. I wouldn't necessarily apply the tool without first having done the basic groundwork.